look at other people and I look at their face and I'm like, you know what? That person looks a lot like somebody else. Now, how many of you kind of tend that way a little bit? I can see almost every time I meet somebody or see somebody, I think, you know, they remind me. They're similar to, and when I say that, it's kind of like maybe their nose is similar to somebody, or their mouth is shaped a certain way, or their face is shaped a certain way. And I say, you know, they look similar, or they look like somebody else. Well, today we're going to be talking about similarities. Similarities. You see, we've been looking at the story of Noah and the ark. And by me using the word story, I'm not implying in any way that it's not true. Some would say I'm going to talk about today the true account of Noah's ark. We've already looked at two messages in this series. But today we're going to be looking at the story of Noah's ark and its similarities to salvation. Its similarities to salvation. Now, if you've noticed in my preaching, I don't just kind of falsely or just on my own go to something and say, now look at this. This represents this and this represents that. But when Scripture says that it's basically a picture of salvation, I feel like I can look at the story of Noah and the ark, and we can look at it and look at the similarities without doing any damage to Scripture. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. But if you would, first of all, if you'd turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. You see, that's kind of a strange place to turn to when you're talking about Noah's ark. Well, I'm going to show you what the Bible says, what Peter said in God's book about the story of Noah and the ark. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. Now, I could spend a lot of time here, but I'm not going to do it, okay? We're just going to kind of hit it, explain it a little bit. But this story, basically, has symbolisms or has basically similarities to the salvation experience that you and I have had with Jesus. And 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us about that. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." Now, is that enough to say hallelujah, praise the Lord? It says, Christ suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. We were the unjust. "That he might bring us to God." Aren't you thankful because of what Jesus did for us and for us putting our faith and trust in Jesus that we've been brought to God? "Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." That's talking about Jesus. He was put to death in the flesh, but he came back to life. Verse 19, it says, "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Now, that's a whole topic for a whole nother sermon. But it sounds like that Jesus at some point preached to those who rejected the message of Noah, if you look at the next verse. It says, "which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah." You see that? So I believe that he went and preached or let them know what happened, the end result perhaps. I don't believe that there was an opportunity for them to change their mind. But you remember that Noah preached for 120 years about the ark and the flood that was coming. And they rejected. Every single one of them rejected except for his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. But it says, "which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few," that is eight souls, "were saved." And it says, "by water." And then it has a picture here of baptism. It says, "the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." Now you say, whoa, that's kind of strange. It's worded a little different. But what it's saying is, in order to have a good conscience before God, follow the Lord in believers' baptism. It's really not saying that's the part that saves us, but it lets people know that we're on the Lord's side, and it also helps us to have a good conscience toward God. And in case we're not sure about that, notice the way that we really are saved. It says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, I know that's somewhat of a little difficult passage, but it's pretty clear that the Bible is saying that in the story of Noah, there's a picture of salvation. And as I looked around, looked at some different commentaries, I know Warren Wiersbe agrees with me on that. It says, Peter saw in Noah's experience a picture of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Adrian Rogers, who has the ministry Love Worth Finding, he's with the Lord now, but you still hear him on the radio a lot, has a great voice. I wish God had given me a voice like that. But he said Noah needed to be saved, so God told him, make yourself an ark. That ark pictures Jesus Christ. So I wanted to prove to you that the Word of God says, you know, Noah and the ark is a picture of salvation. Now we're going to look at that picture of salvation in Genesis chapter 7. So if you'd follow along, we've already looked at the verses preceding this about the ark. But beginning in chapter 7 and verse 1, we're going to be looking at the story of Noah's ark, similarities to salvation. It says in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 2, of every clean beast that thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now, this story, how many of you remember hearing this story and being taught this story as a real small youngin'? How many of you remember that? Now, isn't it a wonderful account of what happened? Now, we have the Word of God that tells us what really happened in the great flood. I can assure you, we may talk about this even more at length later, it's not the topic today, but I can assure you that it was a worldwide flood. I can assure you that it really happened. I can assure you that every mountaintop was covered in this whole world, and I can assure you that every living organism that was upon the earth died that was not in the ark. Now, the wildlife or the fish in the waters, they survived, but all of the land animals were killed, okay? All of the humans that did not go into the ark lost their life. It was a big deal. And I said before, and if you can get this embedded in your brain, when you hear and you see these signs at state parks and national parks, and they say, oh, look at this rock formation. It shows that the world is billions and billions of years old. It doesn't. I can assure you, again, on the authority of the Word of God, that this earth is about 6,000 years old. You see, God, in six literal 24-hour days, created all that is. But then this flood, can you imagine the flood and the flood waters that covered the earth about a year? How that would cause the sediment to build up and the rock layers to be shifted and all those things? So when they look at the rock layers and they say, well, look at this. This rock layer is from thousands of years. This one's from millions. This might be from billions. You're like, no. The great flood messed all of that up. Your dating, your erroneous dating method is totally wrong. You know, when it comes to scientists and God, I'll choose God every time. Let me try that again. When it comes to believing scientists or God, I'll choose God every single time. Amen. Now, in this story of Noah and the ark, I'm convinced that there's a wonderful picture of salvation in this story. And I felt like God led me to this passage today and to preach it this way. And I believe that if you're here and you say, you know what, I know that I'm a Christian. I hope that you look at this story in the future and say, you know what, this is grand. This is even better than I remember being taught as a kid. This is a picture of where I am in Christ. This is a picture of my rescue from my sin. And it'll make it even richer when you read this story. It'll make it even more precious to you. And you'll leave today as a Christian saying, boy, I am just so thankful that I'm saved. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, or if you're not sure that if you're truly born again, I hope as we look at this story of Noah's Ark from the perspective and similarities of salvation, you'll say, you know what? I really need Jesus as my Savior. You know, maybe this story can illustrate it in such a way. You know, most of us are very visual people. And if we can see a picture of what Jesus did for us in the ark and in the story of Noah, maybe it will help you to step over that line, so to speak, and trust Jesus as your Savior. Now, there's no way that I'm going to get all the way through the similarities today. I hope to finish it probably tonight, and if I don't, you'll hear again next Sunday morning and as we continue on. But we're looking at the story of Noah's Ark, similarities to salvation. Point number one, the offer of deliverance was limited in time. You know, when Noah was preaching, you know, it says that he preached. If you look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, he preached for 120 years. Notice this verse, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God gave them a lot of grace. And even in the passage in 1 Peter, it talked about the long suffering of God. You see, these folks had 120 years to listen to Noah preach. And he was called a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Of course, it had never rained before. And here you got Noah and his sons building for 120 years this huge ark by God's specifications and God's directions. And you had Noah all the while. I can, in my mind, maybe I'm wrong, but I can picture him just working on that ark and people coming all around that ark. His family members, you know, other than his sons and their wives, maybe a cousin here, you know, a cousin twice removed, you know, coming around, and all the people that may have lived near Noah. Can you picture them coming and saying, "Wow, look at that"? And then they'd probably say, "Noah, you're a fool." But I can also hear Noah up there preaching, a preacher of righteousness. From what I understand, he wasn't that near water when he built the ark. It had never rained from the sky like that. And I don't believe anybody anticipated how the earth would burst open and waters would even come from underneath the earth. But Noah's up there preaching. These people are making fun of him, calling him a fool and probably all kind of names. "You're an idiot, you ding-a-ling. Don't you have some better way to spend your time?" And Noah's up there saying, "The flood is coming. God told me the flood is coming. God told me that if you don't get on this ark and believe God, you are going to perish." And he preached that day after day as he built the ark. I can picture that in my mind, can't you? Preaching, I see him up on a great big ladder, and they're making fun of him, and he said, "You know what, y'all got to listen. Y'all got to believe God. God is real." He did that, I believe, every day. I believe he took a day of rest every week, as he should and as we should. If you find yourself not being able to keep up, maybe it's because you're not taking that seventh day of rest. It doesn't necessarily have to be on Sunday. See, Sunday's really not my day of rest. I stay pretty busy on Sundays because I have to preach. But if yours can't be Sunday, you need to rest your body one day a week. Really? It's biblical. I'll preach that someday. That's a topic for another sermon too. But let me tell you, Noah preached to them. Noah gave them the opportunity to respond and to trust God by faith. Noah gave them the opportunity, and God gave them the opportunity to get on the ark. But you know what? After 120 years, their time, their opportunity ran out. You know, I see a similarity there with salvation today. You know, we got a lot of people around us who are as lost as can be without Jesus. Would y'all agree with that? You may say, "Preacher, I believe I work with all of them because my fellow co-workers, man." And I can only imagine. I've worked in the secular workplace, so I know what that's like. It's not like I've been a preacher all my life. It's not like I've never worked in a place of secular business. But I've worked as an engineer. I worked summer jobs at Hawks Nest State Park and different places to help with my school bill. But I imagine it's getting worse and worse. And I imagine that tongues are getting looser. I imagine that there's cussing more often and bad stories more often and more discontent even today probably than there was when I worked in a secular workplace. And these people are lost. Some have heard the gospel. But they're thinking in their mind, "You know what? I've got lots of time to make up my mind." You know, just like the time and the opportunity to get on the ark ran out for those people, there's only a limited amount of time that people have to trust Jesus as their Savior. It doesn't matter how long you think you might have. It doesn't matter how long those lost in the world think they may have. The truth of the matter is, there's a limited time to be saved. I can show you from Scripture that truth. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Listen to this. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Do you realize that unless the Lord comes back, and we talked about, we didn't get real far, but we started talking about the rapture in Sunday school today, the teen Sunday school class, about the rapture of the church. But do you realize that if the Lord don't come back and take us home in the rapture, that every single one of us will someday die? And it says there, it's appointed unto men once to die. Who appoints man to die? Well, it happened as a result of sin in the Garden of Eden, right? That's when we started to die, right? But it says, guess what? It says it's appointed. God appoints our time to die. He knows exactly how many days are left in your life. He knows how many days are left in the life of your coworker who doesn't even want to hear the name Jesus. He knows how many days are left in the life of your relative that you've tried at family reunions year after year to put a good word in for the Lord, because you can't say a whole lot because they'll get really offended. God knows, because their time of leaving this world is appointed before God. And then the judgment. It's too late to trust Jesus to experience salvation once you breathe your last. You know, I don't mean to be a drama king, and I'm normally not a drama king, and hopefully you'll not take it this way, because I don't want to play on your emotions to make you make a decision. I want you to make a decision based upon what God is telling you to do. Not, oh, I'm all emotional thing. But can you imagine that probably 1 year from today, you say, preacher, I'm so glad I could come to church and be encouraged. Look around at each other for just a moment. Can you do that? Just look around. Pretty good looking bunch. A few notable exceptions. You know, there's a very good chance that in 1 year, someone in this congregation will have experienced death. And then the Lord may even come back before next year hits for all of us that know Jesus, right? But the point I'm making is, in Noah's day, they had 120 years to make a decision to trust God. People today only have a limited amount of time to trust God. Because God says, I know exactly when you're going to die. And it may be sooner. I mean, you looked around, you might have picked out maybe some of the older ones, said, well, they may not be. But guess what? It's... Death is no respecter of your age necessarily. It could happen to someone young. But God appoints a day of death, a time that we'll leave this world. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10, it says, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now you've heard, right, this quite often? 70, basically. But if you live to be 80, you know that strength of labor and sorrow is in. How many would say, preacher, you have described my life. I am over 70, and it's hard. It's a labor. There's a lot of sorrow. It's harder to get up in the mornings. But you know what? If we live past 70... we're kind of, I think you understand this expression, we're kind of living on borrowed time. I mean, our days are not, I know that people are living longer for the most part, but our time to trust Jesus as Savior, to be saved, is limited. James chapter 4 and verse 14. This really puts it in perspective if you think you got all the time in the world to make it right with the Lord. Now, this goes for Christians too. I don't want Christians to be tuning me out and say, well, I know Jesus, I'm good. But do you realize that your life is limited in your service to God? I mean, how much time have some of us wasted in our lives doing our own thing and saying, someday I'll get serious about God? Well, your clock is ticking too. I mean, you know where you're going, but are you going to be rewarded where you're going? Are you going to be told, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Because your time is ticking away. And the only thing that's going to last is what you do for Christ. And we get so upset and so obsessed with so many things in life that do not amount to a hill of beans. Life is short. Our days as Christians are numbered. So may we learn a lesson from this as well that, you know what, I better be serious. If you can think of a time when you were more serious about God than you are today, you're backslidden. I didn't say you lost your salvation, but I say you're backslidden. I don't know about you. I would like to think that the older I get, the more wisdom I have, and the more I try to serve Jesus. I may not be able to do the same things that I used to do when I was younger, but hopefully my diligence and my faithfulness is growing, not shrinking. You see, if you want to look at a similarity between Noah's Ark and salvation, there was a limited amount of time for them to make a decision to trust God and get on that ark. There's a limited amount of time for someone to trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die. God knows exactly when you're going to die. The Bible says if you get 70, great. Get to 80, it's going to be a struggle a little bit. And this verse says, guess what? Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, I think vapor, yeah, you know, it's not a word I use all the time or I really think a whole lot about. But you know, when you're out in cold weather and you breathe out, and it's just there for a moment, you know, you can see your breath, so to speak. That's usually what we say. I can see my breath, it's so cold. When you breathe out and it disappears, that's how long our life is. I mean, my goodness, I look in the mirror and I can't believe how old I am. I don't look it, but I can't believe how old I am. Somebody say, preacher, you've aged since you've been here. You're absolutely 100% right. I have aged since I've been here. But you know what? You can't stop at aging. Life is a vapor. Life is a vapor. How are you using it? Lost person? Man. I'm telling you, if you're here today, if there was any doubt in my brain at all about whether I was saved, I would not leave this church today before I said, preacher, I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I mean it. If I was out there, I would not let the preacher leave until I talked to him about Jesus and settled that and nailed that down. You see, time is limited, and there's a lot of crazy drivers out there. Right? I think they're getting crazier all the time. I lived in Connecticut for 2 years. Craziest, worst drivers ever seen in my life. Second worst drivers ever seen in my life are Buckeyes. And if we have any beloved Buckeyes who are listening in, we love you. But by and large, you may be a great driver, but there's a lot of Buckeyes that cannot drive. I think they got their license perhaps from Walmart. But I've noticed even on Route 23, that little road we come out, man, no one drives in their lane anymore. They're almost always left of center. And there's not a lot of room on that road to get anywhere. I'm just saying, life is short. No one knows what tomorrow holds. The Lord could come back at any moment, and you could leave this world at any moment. The Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, as I look at that story of Noah, I'll say it at least one more time. The offer of deliverance on the ark was limited in time. They had 120 years. Can I tell you that you probably don't have that long? We don't live to be 120 years old, much more. The Bible said 70. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. The Bible says life is like a vapor that appeareth for a moment, then vanisheth away. And then the Bible, the same Bible says that today, now is the day of salvation. I don't know who this is for. I don't have any idea. I don't know who may be sitting there today saying, you know what? There's still a huge question mark in my brain about whether I'm saved. Maybe it's just for us Christians to say, you know what? We got our work cut out for us. I'm thankful to the Lord. My days are numbered. I need to be more faithful to serve the Lord. There's a whole lot of people that need to be saved. Why do we have Vacation Bible School? Because these people need Jesus. These little kids we bring in and their parents, a lot of them need Jesus. Time is passing quickly. The offer of salvation is limited in time. You know, on television, they advertise all kind of stuff, right? But they'll do anything. They'll fix any problem you have. They'll make your life wonderful. But on some of those, especially those as seen on TV, sometimes they use the expression, this is a limited time offer, right? You hear that? This is a limited time offer. Can I tell you that salvation is a limited time offer? That's because all of us will face death at some point. Two simple challenges, and I believe I'm done. The first challenge, again, to Christians. I hope you view this story in a new way once we get through these sermons we're going to preach about the similarities of Noah's Ark to salvation. But today we looked at the offer of deliverance was limited in time. The offer of salvation is limited in time. So if you're saying, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Wonderful. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a fantastic, words escape me to describe how great it is to know that you're saved. I know that I'm saved. It's not because I'm good. It's not because of this, that, or the other, because I'm a preacher, because this. It's because I did what the Bible said, so I know that I'm saved. So when I put my head on my pillow at night, honestly, I may be thinking about other things, but I'm not thinking about whether I'm saved or not. I'm not thinking if this roof falls in or this storm is passing over, kills me, I'm not sure where I'm going to go. Believe me, I know where I'm going. I know that I'm saved. And if you're a Christian, you say, well, I know that I'm saved. Can I remind you that your time on earth is limited? It's great that you know Jesus. But are you spending, you know we all have 24 hours in a day? We all got 20. How come some people can be so faithful to God in that 24 hours? And some can say, I don't have time. Or you may not say it, but it's evident. You don't have time to serve the Lord. Why is that? It's a priority thing. And for a child of God, I hope that today, and you say, I know I'm saved. I hope you've been reminded that life is short. Life is short. I want to spend my remaining days. I want to spend my remaining days and my remaining hours being as faithful as I can to the Lord. Because that's what's going to last. That's what's going to count. So if God is speaking to you about that today, I'm going to challenge you. I know you don't, people don't usually want to hear anything about altars, but if God is speaking to your heart today about the way you use your time and the priority that God is in your life, when we sing a song here in just a moment, I want you to come up here to the altar and say, God, help me to use my time better for you. Help me to be more faithful to you. Help me to be more dedicated to you. Can I say it'd be a whole lot better to settle that today than when you stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ and he says, why weren't you more faithful? Why weren't you more dedicated? At that point, we can't do anything. We can't even give a good answer. But today, as I look around, I want everybody look at me. Everybody look right up here at me. Are you as faithful to the Lord as you should be, knowing that your time is running out? For anyone that's here today that does have that question mark in their mind whenever I say, are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus? For anyone that has that question mark at all, or someone say, there's no question mark, I know that I am not saved. Man, can I urgently tell you, salvation is a limited time offer? Because your life is winding. And then for some of us, it's winding down. Don't wait to trust Jesus as your Savior. I am honestly convinced that hell, the place that those who have never trusted Jesus, that hell is literally full of people that said, not today, maybe tomorrow. And guess what? Tomorrow never came. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. All I ask you to do is listen to God. If he's telling you that you need to be more faithful in the hours and the time that you have left on this earth, I'm going to ask you to come up here and talk to God. Don't talk to me unless you want to. Talk to God. Or if God is speaking to your heart that you need to be saved today and you want to be saved, you come down and get my attention. We can make sure that before you leave this place, you know where you're going. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you. I thank you for the story of Noah and the ark, the true account of Noah and the ark. And I thank you, Lord, for these similarities to salvation. Lord, I pray that today's truth, that the offer of salvation is limited in time, will just ring in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, one more time I pray that if there's a Christian here today that says, you know what, I could use my time better and my time's winding down too, and I could be more faithful and dedicated and diligent about serving the Lord, and I'm going to, Lord, help me. I pray, Lord, that you'll give them the boldness to step out and come to this altar, talk to you about it. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that's not saved, I pray that they'll come forward. And Lord, today, while the invitation is still open, Lord, they'll come forward and say, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. Lord, the invitation is yours. We turn it over to you now in Jesus' name.